The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood. In the country, looking hard to find a home. With nothing perfect or concealed.
Bonjour, hi, Canada, to Hewitt in the ReliefFactor.com studio. It's a big week in American history. The hearings begin for Judge Amy Coney Barrett to assume the seat on the Supreme Court that I believe she will take before the election. And then we can debate whether or not the radical Democrats actually would ever try to pack the Supreme Court. Now, I have got a lot to say about that, especially the Orwellian attempt by Democrats to redefine what packing the Supreme Court means. That's very simple. It means adding seats to the Supreme Court. That's what FDR tried in 1937. At that time, there were only 96 members of the United States Senate. It was rejected 70 to 20. The president, by the way, had 76 members of that Senate on his side. 73 members of that Senate on his side, and he only got 20 votes because packing the Supreme Court is so radical. It's so off the chart. Now, you'll hear lefties say, well, the court has gone up and down in history. Yes, it began at 6 when it had nothing to do back in the days before Marbury versus Madison. You know, the government gets started in 1789. John Marshall becomes the Chief Justice at the end of the Adams administration, 12 years in. And soon thereafter, he begins building the court and its reputation via Marbury versus Madison in 1803. So from the beginning at 6, it got up to 10 when Lincoln added one during the Civil War. Then that was allowed to lapse by the Reconstructionist radicals. And it stayed at 9 from 1869. The stability, and then it began to develop a lot of case law. It had a few cases prior to 1869 that matter that I still teach every year when I teach con law, like Baltimore v. Barron. The question before us is important, but not very difficult. There are a few. Okay, McCullough versus Maryland. There are a few early cases that matter, but it really doesn't become the modern Supreme Court until the 14th Amendment is passed to bring freedom to the newly emancipated former slaves. The 13th Amendment bans slavery. The 14th and 15th Amendment protect emancipated men and women. And that's when the modern era begins. Doesn't mean we get it right. We still get things wrong. You'll hear about that in the next 4 days of hearings of Judge Amy Coney Barrett before Chairman Lindsey Graham and the rest of the Judiciary Committee. You'll hear a lot of con law. I'll be watching because this is what I live for. I wait for this moment when the court gets a 6-member center-right majority. None of them are radical conservatives. There aren't any radical conservatives out there. The president wouldn't nominate, nor would Republicans confirm, much less Democrats, a radical. And I don't want a radical. I'm a center-right guy myself. I just want someone to apply the law and not to make it up. And the three liberals will do their job of trying to suggest ways that maybe they'll persuade. Justice Kagan is very, very smart. So is Justice Breyer. Justice Sotomayor represents a sort of classic left wing, soft left, not hard left, but soft left redistributionist worldview. But she's not radical. Stephen Breyer is very smart, a little bit old. And Justice Kagan is, you know, the great, she'll become the great dissenter. And I think the Chief Justice will guide this court to as many 7-2, 8-1, 9-0 decisions as possible. But expanding the court, that's just radical. In fact, Chief of Staff Mark Meadows yesterday went on Judge Jeanine and said, what happens if Joe Biden and the Senate Democrats got a majority and then packed the court number 7?
Well, he's going to do all those and a lot more. Honestly, the president is the one that's challenging us to make sure that we have the schedule ready and ready to go. But, you know, it's interesting in your lead up, Judge, you mentioned something. He's ready to make the contrast between Joe Biden on one key thing. You're talking about packing the courts. What does that mean to the American people? It means that Joe Biden is going to expand the court by 3 to 5 people, liberals. And what will that do? It means your Second Amendment rights will be gone. It means your religious liberty will be gone. It means that they will give additional support to illegals that are here all through the court since they can't do it through the American people in Congress.
You know, that's exactly what they're going to try and do. They're going to try and do it through the American, you know, just bypass representative government, put hard left and rewrite people on the court and just invent stuff. Now, the president went on Fox with Maria Bartiromo yesterday morning. I was over on Meet the Press yesterday, and very quickly, I always do this for the record. Here's my first comment when Chuck comes to me on the panel. We had very short panels yesterday, so I got a grand total of 2 minutes here. But cut number 27.
It's going to make the difference.
Hugh Hewitt, are we in October 1996 territory? Here's Ken Spain, a Republican strategist, who told us on Friday, 6 months ago, Republicans were hoping that we would be talking about Senate races in Colorado, Arizona, and Maine. Instead, there's concern about the potential outcomes in states like South Carolina, Georgia, and Kansas. The point being is, about this time in October of 96, when the word went out, it's every Republican for themselves, don't worry about Bob Dole anymore. How close are Senate Republicans to that mindset?
A week ago, they were very close to that, Chuck, but not. This has been a week of enormous relief. I've interviewed a dozen Republican senators, and the vice presidential debate really turned it around for a lot of Republicans, as did the president's sort of powerful energy on conservative media getting back out there. They're not afraid he's going to be out of the picture, generating base enthusiasm. I remember 96 when Jack Kemp just got completely creamed by Al Gore in the vice presidential debate. Well, this time, Vice President Pence played direct to Pennsylvania on fracking, direct to Pennsylvania on the Supreme Court. So I think across the Senate map, I believe the president is down in double digits, but closing nationally. But across the Senate map, this was a very good week. And that's not even counting the Cal Cunningham collapse in North Carolina. So, the fact is that I think the bottom was touched when he went on the helicopter to Walter Reed. And now it's just a question of closing the gap across the United States. And I believe the Gallup poll yesterday showing 56% of Americans are better off today than they were 4 years ago is really what's going to drive turnout. And I do believe the president's base is absolutely on fire, excited. Chuck came back to me after there had been a long discussion of a variety of things, but he asked me about the Michigan terrorists and whether or not the president had been forceful enough in condemning them. Cut number 28.
Chaos.
Hugh Hewitt, the president's decision to go on the attack on Governor Whitmer and not denounce this terrorist threat against her, big political mistake by him?
No, I don't think so. I think they're terrorists, and I think we've got to be very clear that they don't define political speech in Michigan any more than the people who assault police define the people seeking police reform. They're terrorists. They're McVeigh-level dangerous terrorists, and I'm glad the FBI did their job, but it ought not to put off limits any criticism of the governor's approach to the virus or any praise of the governor's approach to the virus. I think the president's going to play hard, energetic political mainstream tactics from here until the end. I think he's going to seize on the Supreme Court. I think he's going to seize on court packing not being answered. I wrote about it in the Post this morning. But I don't think he has to respond to every allegation from everyone in every situation.
That's the case. The president doesn't have to sit there, and if Whitmer says X, he doesn't have to say not X. He needs to do what he wants to do where he wants to do it on his schedule for 23 days. 23 days to the election. But early voting is underway in Arizona and in Ohio and in other places. So go to KeepAmericaAmerica.com. KeepAmericaAmerica.com is an operation of the Job Creators Network. Proud to sponsor their approach to you over the airwaves. Proud to have them here sponsoring the show and proud to have them talking to you about where to go to vote. KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Go there, find out where to vote, find out when early voting starts in your state. Commit to take at least one person with you to the polls, all right? At least one person. Do a little, do a lot, but do something. Turnout is everything in this election. KeepAmericaAmerica.com is the place to find out where and when you can vote. Go and vote early if you can. Find out the details at KeepAmericaAmerica.com. 350,000 people have already done that. You'd be 350,001. I'll be right back on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. You know that we have got the hearings beginning this week, and that's going to be the news driver, but it's also Prime Days, Amazon Prime, and that always moves the market. Indeed, this market story of the day is brought to you by Birch Gold. And Birch Gold is the person that sells you gold for your safety deposit box, or you can move 10, 20, 30% of your IRA into physical metals, gold and silver. I just buy gold direct from Birch Gold, and I do it whenever I buy gold, I buy it from Birch Gold. Then I put it in the safety deposit box. But you might want to invest your IRA or 401k in portion. Diversify. Do not go above 25 or 30%. Don't go below 5 or 10%. Be diversified. Have some precious metals. Gold this morning is at 1,928. I told you last week when it dipped briefly below 1,900, that's a good time. I buy anytime it's below 2,200. And I'll tell you right now, it's the long-term bet. And you go to HughGold.com. HughGold.com, or you text my name, Hugh, to 474747. They'll send you an information pack, no obligation, toll-free call. I mean, toll-free text at 474747. I guess not a toll-free, it's a text. 474747, my name, Hugh. Or just go to HughGold.com to get diversified. On Friday, the Dow was up 161 points. The NASDAQ was up 158 points. The S&P was up 30 points. And then the headline of the morning, online shopping has been turbocharged by the pandemic. There's no going back, which is why I believe you're going to see Amazon, which went up almost $100 on Friday, continue its march. As the world reorients towards a new online economy, as the effects of the pandemic linger and the habits develop during these long months of quasi-isolation and social distancing and shopping from home have taken so deeply rooted, they're just not going to change. I own Amazon. I always disclose that, but I think it's Walmart, Target, Whole Foods, anybody that delivers, you know, Instacart, all the people that bring things to you. the new economy, and the new economy is not going anywhere. So Donald Trump went on Fox with Maria Bartiromo yesterday, and he began by talking about the debates, cut number one.
They won't go on your show because you'll ask them questions. I watched that town hall that NBC gave him the other night. That was like for a child. They were asking questions that you would ask a child, a young child. And I've never seen anything like it. But I've watched this process where he has the questions and then he reads an answer from a reporter, a legitimate reporter, or not anymore, in my opinion, legitimate. But I watched where they give him the questions and he reads the answer from a computer. Nobody's ever seen anything like this in history before, what's going on. It's a real disgrace. And then you look at this guy, Scully. He turned out to be a fraud. You look at Scully. He was a never-Trumper. And, you know, you look at what's... And then he said he was hacked. That's always, you know, Anthony Weiner said he was hacked, too. They all say they were hacked. Every time something happens where they did something and got caught, the first thing they do is they say, oh, we were hacked. Well, he wasn't hacked. He knows that. He's ashamed. It's a shame. And I hear that C-SPAN is very upset with what happened. But Scully, you know, he was going to be, and Chris Wallace was a disaster. Chris Wallace went out and just kept saving Biden. Every time you'd ask a question, Chris Wallace would save Biden. You know, I understand Chris for a long time. I liked his father. His father was great.
And so it continued. Cut number two.
Well, Republicans want to do it. We're having a hard time with Nancy Pelosi. She thinks she can influence the election. And I think they're hurting themselves by not doing it. But the Republicans want to do it. We want to do stimulus. We want to help the airlines again because the airlines are always a tough business. We want to help the restaurants, hotels. We want to help businesses that really it's not their fault. It's China's fault. And we want to help them, Maria. And frankly, you know, we're ready to go. We're all ready to go. We can't get Nancy Pelosi to sign the document.
You know, that is the fact, is that they could get an individual check to every American if Nancy Pelosi would do a freestanding bill. She's not in favor of that. I will be right back, America. Lots ahead on this Monday morning edition. The week of the hearings, 23 days of the election. It is the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt, so good to have you on this Monday morning. The Senate begins its hearings on Judge Amy Coney Barrett and whether or not she will be confirmed to the United States Supreme Court. I believe that she will be. I expect that this week you are going to hear Alliance Defending Freedom attacked in the Senate. Great sponsors of this show, great partners of ours for 20 years. That's because Judge Barrett lectured a program of Alliance Defending Freedom, known as the Blackstone Fellows, as have I. I've been lecturing the Blackstone Fellows at least for a dozen years in the summer. I usually give them one lecture for an hour and a half or so on communicating effectively. And I'm in a position to do that because I not only teach con law, but I do this. So I teach them how to make arguments, or I lecture to them about how to be memorable, how to be persuasive, how to be winsome, how to conduct a conversation. They are typically 1Ls, first-year law students. And first-year law students don't often get jobs. Or if they do get jobs, they're not very interesting jobs, and they don't learn very much. And if you're going to be a 1L and you want to get a great job, you apply for a Blackstone Fellowship. And the Blackstone Fellowship is put together by the Alliance Defending Freedom because of donors like you. People like you support ADF. And they bring a couple of hundred law students together who are chosen from all over the country. And they've been doing this for so many years. They now have Blackstone Fellows who are federal judges, Blackstone Fellows who are partners in major law firms, Blackstone Fellows who are teaching across the United States. They started, like the Federalist Society, they realized that legal academia, to the extent that it has any ideology, I mean, it's very difficult to have ideology in contracts. It's very difficult to have ideology in commercial paper. There are lots of cases that are not ideological. like evidence, not ideological, whether or not something is hearsay, but nevertheless admissible. But there's a lot of the law that is very ideological. And most law professors, I would guess 90% of law professors vote Democratic or socialist, maybe 95%. I am one of the few who is a reliable conservative, but I love to teach. And, you know, I teach the book. I teach the cases. You can't pass the bar unless you know what the cases say. And I use Erwin Chemerinsky's casebook, and I've used Erwin Chemerinsky's casebook 23 out of 25 years. I don't like any other casebook. Erwin, who is, of course, dean at Berkeley and very left, friend of this show, when he was originally selected to be the dean at the University of California, Irvine Law School, all of a sudden the chancellor out there got cold feet and wanted to fire Erwin. And John Eastman, my colleague at Chapman, and I rallied to his defense because we believe in free speech and free ideas. And we got Erwin the job he had been promised. And Erwin and I don't agree on anything. I mean, he's a very nice man, but we don't agree on anything. But I use this casebook because you have to know the cases. Nevertheless, you can put a liberal spin on the court. You can put a conservative spin on the court. I try and divide the case, the coursework into here's the law. Here's what I think of it. Here's what I think you ought to might consider as an approach, but I don't teach them other than the law. And Blackstone fellows arrive at their gathering early in the summer, every summer, and they hear a traditional view of the law that believes the law ought to be applied, not invented by judges. And the Blackstone fellows have benefited from great professors like, when she was a professor, Judge Amy Coney Barrett lecturing to them. So, because Alliance Defending Freedom is Christian and supports religious liberty of all sorts, they'll support a non-believer's right. They'll support a Buddhist, a Jew, a Muslim, a Catholic, a Mormon, an evangelical Baptist. You name it. They'll support them in the public square. Their religious liberty rights. They support free speech. They just believe in the First Amendment. So Alliance Defending Freedom puts this on, and Amy Coney Barrett lectured to it. So you're going to hear the Alliance Defending Freedom attacked as being bigoted, which they're not. Attacked as being right-wing, which they're not. They are constitutionalist and originalist, like Scalia, like Judge Barrett is believed to be. While they're being attacked, would you please go to and support them? How do you do that? You go to HughHewitt.com. I tweeted this out earlier. If you go to HughHewitt.com and you go to the very top of the page, you're going to see a banner that says support religious liberty. Will you fight for your freedom? Will you fight for your freedom? The big word is freedom, question mark. Give now. And you can give $50, $75, $100. I'd love for someone to make a big gift, because I would love for them to shatter all their fundraising records this week when they're being attacked by Mazie Hirono and Dick Durbin and Kamala Harris. When they're being attacked for defending religious liberty, please go and support them. And you can always find them at HughHewitt.com. Just go to the top. When you hear them attack, or just do it this morning. Anticipate the attacks and go do it this morning. Or you can call 866-359-9644. A Blackstone fellow is a pretty expensive deal. They've got to fly them to the first 2 weeks where they get an overview of the law. Then they got to get them to their job, which is all over the country. They work for law firms all over the country. Then they bring them back. They got to pay them, because law students got to eat too and pay rent, et cetera. And then they get a stipend for that. Then they got to bring them back. Tell them what you're going to do. Do it. Tell them what you did. That's how you make an effective communication. And that's what Alliance Defending Freedom does for Blackstone Fellows. That's why you should support them. You're going to hear me talk about Blackstone Fellows a lot this week, but I wanted to start off and remind you of that. Now, let's go back to President Trump talking with Maria Bartiromo. He talked about what will happen if Joe Biden wins and taxes go up, which they will, because Joe Biden has said he's going to repeal the Trump tax cuts. Cut number three.
Well, everything he says is a lie, and he gets away with it. No Republican, especially me, but no Republican can get away with what he does. If he terminates, and he said he's going to terminate my tax cuts, well, that means 2,000 plus, plus, plus. And that doesn't even include the $1,000 child tax credit. that everybody gets. So you're talking about $2,000 plus child tax credit plus many other things. And then if he goes with his energy policy where he wants to end, he's going to end fracking, you know that. He's going to end petroleum products, even though that'll put us at a tremendous disadvantage. Not even disadvantage. We wouldn't be able to compete with the world. But he's going to end that. So now instead of $2 gasoline, you're going to be paying $6 gasoline. He wants to take cars away from people. The whole thing is insane, okay? It's insane. So how can the auto industry vote for a guy that wants to take your cars away? And he literally wants to take your cars away. I mean, the whole thing is, what he is saying is crazy.
It is. Look, the Green New Deal is premised on the ending of the combustion engine. You just got to understand that. And so the car that you currently drive, they don't mind if you drive an electric car, if you can pay for all the gizmos and buy a new electric car and find a charging station. They don't mind about that. But the Green New Deal is against fossil fuels. And so understand the automobile industry is going to be gone or retooled. That's what the president is saying, and he's saying it bluntly, and it got a lot of attention, and he's right. Cut number four, about their ambition. He's right about their ambition. Read the Green New Deal. He talks about lockdowns that go too far with Maria Bartiromo. Cut number four.
Well, the first thing we have to do, Maria, is open up our country. You can't keep all these states closed up, the Democrat states, and they're not doing well, and the country is doing well. We're looking like a super V. But, you know, despite the fact that New York has to open up, New York's like a ghost town. New York is very sad what's going on there. And other places, we just won a case in Michigan against the governor that is, you know, I call her the complainer in chief. All she does is complain, except when she's on the phone directly. All she does is say, thank you very much for doing such a great job. But the fact is that you have to open up Wisconsin. You have to open up North Carolina. And Pennsylvania, we won another case there about opening it up because it's unconstitutional what these people are doing. So, number one, you have to open up. You got to get the kids back in school. And if you look at 99.9% with children, I mean, their immune systems are very strong. And we have to get the schools open. We have to get the place open. These people are doing it. And by the way, after the election, about 2 minutes after the election, they'll announce that they're opening. They know what they're doing. Look, they know what they're doing, and it's a disgrace. But I think, and the other thing is, I don't know if you've seen, but we're doing very well. We're up in Miami. We're up in Arizona. We're up in many, many states, more than we were last time. And I think we're doing very well.
You see, I do believe that all these push polls that are out there are an attempt to try and depress Republican turnout. I don't think it's possible. I don't think you can keep a Trump voter at home. I also don't think there are many undecided voters left. I don't think people are changing their mind, but it's important to get people to vote. That's why I keep telling you about KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Go vote early. Go get your absentee in if you requested it. Make sure you fill it out the right way. Make sure your vote counts. But you can find out where to vote at KeepAmericaAmerica.com. That is a project of the Job Creators Network. It's a great project. Hundreds of thousands of people are going there to get voting information. Commit to do a little, commit to do a lot, but do something. KeepAmericaAmerica.com. Donald Trump also talked about Nancy Pelosi's crazy 25th Amendment Commission. Talk about a stunt. Cut number five.
Well, I think she's talking about Joe Biden, because to be honest with you, he's the one that's got the problem. And obviously, it's obvious to anybody that watches him speak. He's the one that got that has the problem, and they want to put a super radical left person in, like Kamala, who's further left than Bernie Sanders. And, you know, that whole thing is breaking up now because the left isn't getting what they want. All of a sudden, they're back into fracking and all the things that they talked about they wouldn't do. And now they're saying they're going to do them. And the left is very unhappy. I'm going to get a lot of people, because of my great policies on trade, they're going to, just like last time, Bernie Sanders people are going to vote for me because of what I've done on trade, because what I've done on trade is a miracle. And we have a long way to go because, frankly, they interrupted it with the impeachment hoax and various other things. But no, I think she's talking, and a lot of people think that she's talking about Joe Biden, getting him out. That's the way I view it. I certainly view it that way.
Maria also asked him about his health. Cut number six.
Yes, and not only that, it seems like I'm immune. So I can go way out of a basement, which I would have done anyway, and which I did, because you have to run a country. You have to get out of the basement, and it looks like I'm immune for, I don't know, maybe a long time, or maybe a short time. It could be a lifetime. Nobody really knows, but I'm immune. So so the president is in very good shape to fight the battles.
That, by the way, Twitter flagged that. I can't believe that. Everybody knows what he's talking about. Everyone I know has had the virus is told by their doctors, you don't have to worry about it for a while. We don't know how long your immunity lasts. But they said that was erroneous. I just couldn't understand it. Come right back here. Selena Zito, next. Welcome back, America. Selena Zito is back. Our friend from Pittsburgh. It is Browns Steelers week. The Browns haven't won in Heinz Field since 2003, October. I think this is the week. Selena, how are you?
Good morning, you. How are you doing?
I'm great. We are back doing our regular guests now that we have Amy Coney Barrett going up. How do you think that's going to go, by the way?
I can't imagine, despite all the things that are thrown out, you know, sort of how the Democrats and the media have pre-gamed this situation, it seems improbable that at the end of the day, she will not be a justice.
I agree.
Before the election. Yeah. I think the problems that both the Democrats and a lot of the media have is not just how they have presented this about being court packing, which is, you know, just hurts my brain, but also the very sort of not understanding people of faith and the anti-Catholicism. It is stunning to me how much they are unaware of how that rubs the voter the wrong way.
And now, there's been quite a lot of attempt by the Democrats to backpedal from their 2017 attacks on Amy Coney Barrett. I haven't heard Mazie Hirono said religion was on the table. Then she backpedaled yesterday. Dick Durbin was on Meet the Press. He's a Catholic. He backpedaled yesterday. Doesn't want anything to do with faith. I think they've been warned that that's just explosive and that they've got to stay away from it. And I hope they do, Selena. I really hope they do.
I do as well. I mean, I think they need to remember how much that played in that state Supreme Court race in Wisconsin in 2018 or 2019. That was a big deal in that race and turned the race in the favor, even though we don't elect, obviously, a Supreme Court justice. The sentiment in Wisconsin was overwhelmingly against how the media in that state and how the elected officials characterized faith in that race.
Now, Selena, you wrote for Real Clear Politics recently something that stuck in my mind, that in the last year in Pennsylvania, about 275,000 people have purchased a gun for the first time. So I did a little more research, and the National Shooting Sports Foundation says this year, 5 million Americans have bought a gun for the first time. What is that all about, and who do you think those people who have bought a gun for the first time are going to vote for generally?
So I think that culture gives us cues, and we tend to ignore them, and one of them is gun purchases. In my state, Pennsylvania, it has been since the spring that there has been, I think it was since March, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but over 240,000 new gun owners. 40% of them were women. That was a key archetype in my book with Brad Todd, The Great Revolt. We called it Girl Gun Power. I don't think that, I mean, they're not all new Republicans, but certainly it makes them view the tenets of their vote. I think the other thing we need to pay attention to in Pennsylvania is the 198,000 new Republican voters in the state since 2018. That's significant. Also, the amount of traditional Democrat registered counties in western Pennsylvania that have flipped from registered Democrat dominance to now registered Republican dominance. And the other culture thing we need to pay attention to is how much, just the watching the Steelers game. I mean, they dropped off in their first Monday night football game 20 percentage points in viewership. People give us messages, but we don't pay attention to them.
And one of the messages is the abysmal ratings for the NBA Finals. Yep. The Lakers won their final last night. A lot of people want to dismiss that solely as being a product of the schedule being disrupted, et cetera. That's part of it, but part of it is clearly the fan base doesn't want to mix politics with sports.
Right. Even if you are a Biden supporter, people are super tired of being lectured in every corner of their life, including their sports. It's not that people don't believe people that play sports should have a point of view, but it is so tiring to turn on any sports game and not spend at least, you know, 6 to 12 commercials being told how awful you are. It's a real put-off, let alone the leagues getting involved themselves and the players getting involved themselves in social justice messaging.
So, all told, 30 seconds, Selena, is Pennsylvania still in play?
I think Pennsylvania is a jump ball. Could go either direction, but I also don't think Pennsylvania is the most important state. I think Wisconsin is.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's for next week then. Selena Zito, read everything that Selena Zito writes at selenazito.com. And come right back. Amy Coney Barrett hearings begin in 2 hours, and I'm getting you ready for them, America, right here on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. The 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.